Greetings, Sleepy Salsa here on this Thursday, October 25th of 2012, and welcome to the 64th episode of the Last Bastille podcast. This broadcast is kindly hosted over at radioforall.net. I should also take this opportunity to mention that the opening theme is Ashley Alisize's A Puzzling Predicament, and the outro will be Bosa's King's Quest, both of them available pursuant to Creative Commons Attribution, specifically CC BY-NC-SA 3.0 unported. For more information on Creative Commons, visit them at creativecommons.org. For any other content that may not be of original authorship by yours truly, any such material is used under the sincere intention of fair use. If you wish to understand the nature of the situation we are all suffering under, and what can be done about it, feel free to visit the Last Bastille blog, which is located over at The Last Bastille, Bastille is spelled B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E, thelastbastille.wordpress.com. And for this episode, and most likely some of the upcoming ones as well, we're going to take a bit of a departure from looking at the system, the establishment itself. We're going to delve into kind of a different arena of sorts, but it's still related. That of dissident philosophy. In other words, the nitty-gritty of why good people oppose the establishment in the first place. And so the topic for tonight is basically an article that was originally posted on the Last Bastille blog earlier this month on the 16th, which is entitled Victim Mentality. People feel trapped in their own circumstances, at the mercy of some malevolent force, or simply on the unlucky side of Fortuna's wheel. It is not at all uncommon for certain individuals to believe that their entire lives are subject to the vicissitudes of fate. Breaking free of this mental prison is essential towards regaining self-determination. Ever since our earliest years, we have been cycled through the government indoctrination centers, which are erroneously referred to as public schools, to believe in all sorts of nonsense. The police serve the people, legislators are popularly elected, and the free market requires governmental regulation, to name just a few. Alongside all of this is the sense given to you that somehow your life is not your own. It is a type of inescapable bubble that is run by someone or something else. Such learned helplessness is the eventual outcome of having to cope within living within an artificially regimented lifestyle during our early formative years. The Madison Avenue social engineers, the so-called public relations advertisement wizards, unrelentingly convey the notion that we are not intrinsically worthy or otherwise just disastrously inept. For instance, just watch any men's hygiene, cereal, or automobile advert, and it will be conveyed to you that you need some corporation's product in order to better yourself. That without them, you are nothing. By understanding also the predictive programming elements in films and television shows, you can decipher the values they are attempting to have you internalize as a way of life. Such devious mechanizations are all aimed at creating an artificial dependence on the establishment. Is it really any surprise why the victim mentality is so pervasive in the United Socialist States of America as it is? Particularly with the advent of the welfare state, it has become endemic to expect something for nothing. Free lunches, as it were. Internet radio hosts have told me that only the government has pulled people out of poverty, not private industry. Only the welfare state can help the destitute, the unwed single mothers, and the ill, not friendly societies. Even when I told them that the exact opposite is true and where they can start verifying the data for themselves, my claims were quickly, albeit politely, dismissed as not being practical in this day and age. Some political dissidents have chosen to focus on child-rearing practices. Considering the downward spiral of parental standards over the last several decades, these dissidents act on the presumption that by improving relations between parents and children, particularly through nonviolent means, such as the concept of peaceful parenting, the eventual long-term ramifications would actually end up striking at the root of the many multifaceted problems we face. Unfortunately, I have noticed that in the attempt to analyze the causes of child abuse, these very same dissidents use themselves as their own qualitative case studies. While this is not bad in and of itself, it does have the tendency of encouraging others to complain about how awful their parents were, thus perpetuating the victim mentality, albeit unintentionally. At the end of the day, the victim mentality robs us of our individual sense of responsibility for our own lives. This notion that somehow you are entitled to goods and services, or even love and affection from your own man, your fellow man, is utterly repugnant to any concept of freedom. Love, like money, has its own currency and its own standard of value. Neither are subject to the arbitrary whims of the unearned. The decision to invest or to love is inherently rooted in the premise that something or someone has earned a level of respect and admiration, otherwise it or they would not be valued. Of course, not everything or everyone is valued by people in the same way, and that is perfectly all right because they are not supposed to be. This is the variability of free will in action as expressed by subjective preferences. You and you alone have the ability to choose whether to become a self-serving, unjustified product of all of society's ills, or to grow up and act as a responsible adult. So what if your childhood was genuinely crappy? I didn't choose my parents, but I worked around them as best as I could. So what if your education was thinly veiled propaganda? Either become an autodidactic, find a mentor you can apprentice under, or get yourself into an affordable private school that teaches the trivium. Alternatively, if you have halfway decent parents, homeschooling becomes an option. So what if the corporate advertisements make you feel insecure and weak? You can protect your dignity by not watching television. So what if the parasitical welfare state is enticing you with handouts that you happen to qualify for? Either make a detailed accounting of whose money it really is and return it to them as soon as you are able, or better yet, improve your vocabulary and skill sets so you can create your own job and eventually become financially independent of both the corporations and the state. Taking the virtue of responsibility seriously is the only reliable way of defeating the victim mentality. Only you bear the consequences, good, bad, and indifferent, of your actions. Whenever you don't have the liberty of performing some act, if you still retain the practical ability to do so and are willing to face the negative consequences, if there are any, from violating mala prohibita, then you are still accepting responsibility for that act. No claim of alleged victimhood provides the moral basis for any sort of entitlement, whether it be financial or emotional. Such an understanding on the nature of these truths provides us with the logical rationale for breaking away from the tyranny of the victim mentality. And again, that was my article on the victim mentality, and now I would like to give a postscript. This is something that's kind of evaded a lot of people, is that whenever you mention the victim mentality, a lot of folks, especially those of the mainline public, and particularly that sub-portion of which are welfare recipients, think that you're only talking about them. And for a lot of them, they would qualify for that very much so. And then other people just have to, just for their base survival, apply for welfare benefits because they got unjustly fired from their jobs because of how corporatism works. But the main thing here is really it's really the why behind your actions. And if you've got some bum who finds it that he actually prefers to be on the dole, then that guy has probably got the victim mentality and various other versions of the theme that, like, oh, I can't possibly become self-supporting. You know, whenever you hear claims like that, that's a good indication that somebody is really mind-controlled that way. Now, of course, what's also revealing as well, and this is where bringing in some level of objectivism is important, is the emotional component. See, it's not, the victim mentality doesn't just entail money. Now, some people think that you should love other people unconditionally, or that you should love everyone, or they take certain Christian phrases and really take them out of context, that you should love everyone regardless of their value. And I would posit, like Ayn Rand did, that if you were to truly selflessly love someone, that what that would mean is that you really don't care about what they have to offer. You really don't care about themselves as individuals. Imagine for a moment a man marrying a woman, and or just anyone really, basically getting married, and the reason why they got married to their spouse in the first place is because they want to practice some notion of altruism, which the concept itself is perverted, but that's going to be a discussion for another time, so just take my word for it in the meantime. That it's just simply, it doesn't make sense. No, the reason you marry people is because they add value to your life. You appreciate them for who they are, their various characteristics, their beliefs, their attitudes towards you, and 1,001 other attributes that I can't possibly elucidate. But suffice it to say, you selfishly value your spouse. But apparently this is beyond the grasp of understanding of many dissidents. Admittedly, even Ron Paul, who wrote that he didn't understand Ayn Rand's concept of altruism or condemnation of altruism, and he mentioned that in one of his books. And I know I've done reviews on them, and it was in one of them. I just don't remember right offhand, because after a while, you read all these guys' books, and everything starts meshing together, because they're pretty much all on the same program, so to speak. But yeah, I don't know how else to put it. It's very... other people like to try and convolute it as much as possible, but look, the victim mentality is basically an absence of responsibility. That's really what it is. And just whether it's through financial or an emotional context, these are different ways in which it manifests itself. Now, a quick note here about what I mentioned about peaceful parenting. This is something I've noticed, and I'm going to name names here, but, you know, I'm a, well, used to be regular listener, but now just an occasional listener of Free Domain Radio. And don't get me wrong, I do value Stefan Molyneux and his work in a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that he's done with, particularly his recommendations regarding ostracism and a few other things. The one thing that really sticks in my craw that is, he still may be right about, but this is just my initial concern, is this focus on like not spanking children. It's like this anti-spanking thing. But really, that's a particular method, though. The overall rationality for it is this thing called peaceful parenting. But in order to do that, what he's been suggesting to the listenership is really just that, you know, you need to look at your own life and your own upbringing and see how your parents abused you or some such thing. And look, yeah, there are crappy parents, but there are also other parents who were, you know, emotionally distant or whatever. You know, I'm like I've told other people in private conversations, you know, not everybody should have children. They just don't have not only the interest, but they don't also have the temperament for doing it properly in any sense, really. But, you know, I don't know. I keep coming across whenever somebody mentions child abuse, my eyebrows go up, because obviously there's a difference between, you know, smacking the kid around and just being stoic, which is kind of a lot of what's been going on. Now, yeah, there is the soft power issue where you do have some sense of religiosity that is then used as a tool to manipulate the kid into fearing authority, which is basically the argument in a nutshell. And now there's this claim about, oh, if very very religious parents are abusing their children when they teach them about God or something. And I guess there's probably some level of accuracy to that, but I do think it does suffer from overgeneralization, at the very least. But really, you know, going through the details of all of that, I don't think is really that productive, because, like I mentioned in the article, what it really comes down to is just the, to borrow from the Austrians. The human action that basically results from this is that you have the listenership, which are basically all dissidents for the most part. You know, they call into the I've heard this several times before. You know, they call into the FDR Sunday show, which is basically the weekly podcast where, you know, people can call in and stuff. And I've called into and asked Molyneux about other things, and he's very graciously answered my questions, and hopefully I'll get a chance to do it again. But the problem is that there's this tendency to have the listeners talk about their own childhoods. And so not only is there a very good danger or very likely danger of not being objective about it, you know, as a case study, it's really qualitative. And again, that's not necessarily bad, but when describing it, it comes across as if they're complaining about how awful their parents are. And basically, if you talk about it enough, I mean, I've had private conversations with many of the listeners when we were just talking about other stuff or whatever, and they would just come up. And to me, anyway, it sounded like they very much had the victim mentality. You know, some guys have also told me stuff like I feel scared when I walk into like a clothing store or something because of something, you know, my mom did, or I have a negative association with my mom, so how fucked up is that? You know, shows how my parents fucked me up, right? Something along those lines. But the point is that I do stand by. I think it is unintentional. I honestly do. But nevertheless, the effect is there, and so it's perpetuating the victim mentality. And as far as I'm aware of, nobody has really kind of brought this up, and, you know, it kind of would make sense. Why would you? I mean, I'm not blaming Molyneux here. It's just that by approaching this subject matter, which even Molyneux himself admits is incredibly touchy, and agreed, it is very much so. The tendency in order to try and figure out how it all hangs together is that the listeners end up basically whining and bitching about their childhood, and that's not productive. Now, if there's a way to get around that, if there's another way to try and look at it objectively, that would be awesome. But as far as I'm aware of, and this is something I want to get into at some point when I've had a chance to really, really, really study it, talk to some people, etc. But there is a possible avenue of remedy here, but just initial inclinations with the initial conversations I've had, it does seem to encourage the victim mentality. So in a lot of ways, if somebody's complaining about their parents, how is that, and their childhood, how is that different from a statist who is complaining about how he can't get a job because of the so-called evil capitalists that keep him down, so he has to go on government welfare, and isn't the government great? Both are acting like victims, is kind of my point. It's just different manifestations of it by very, very different people. The point is that both of them are refusing to take responsibility and try to fix it, or at the very least move past it. You know, the one guy is not trying to get some sort of work, and then the other guy is quite literally living in the past. And I know, like, with some problems, it's hard. I mean, like, certain people that, you know, there's the article I wrote that's up on the blog about, you know, is substance abuse the same as addiction? And so I know there can be backslides and other things, but at the end of the day, you have to make a good faith effort to not do that. And like I mentioned in the article, I mean, we've all had tough times. I mean, like with me, you know, work around your parents. I mean, because I've told some guys about my background, and they've claimed, oh, I've been abused, but I didn't know it or something because my parents never hit me. But it was other more manipulative things. And, you know, it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. They don't affect my life anymore. So it's a moot point. Why should I live in the past? Unless there is some positive utility, some benefit that can be gained by re-examining things that have happened to me during my childhood, I don't see any reason to wallow in it. And unlike some of these other guys who I think genuinely have some serious internal problems, I don't have, as far as I'm aware of, any mental hang-ups just that impede my functioning as a hopefully responsible adult. So that's pretty much what I'm getting at, and somebody had to point it out, and so here I am, I'm pointing it out. Hopefully my concerns can be alleviated, because I am saying this in good faith, much like how Adam Kokesh, in good faith, was offering constructive criticism regarding the Ron Paul 2012 election campaign, and then we saw how that thing kind of floundered out. I'm hoping that is not the case here. I'm hoping nothing flounders out. I hope things move forward, but in a constructive way. But this is something just to keep an eye out for and to try and remedies because, you know, nobody in their right mind likes to hear somebody else whine, bitch, complain about their childhood, which admittedly no one has really any real control over in the first place. The main issue is once you do get control of your own life, once you've lived long enough, etc., is to try and remedy whatever damage, if there is any, that was incurred, and then move the fuck on. That's the key part, move the fuck on. I don't even think about my parents. Why? There's no reason to, really, unless it has to come up in context and it's some sort of, I'm trying to make a point about something else and that's the only example I can think of. There's no reason to think about them at all. So, I don't know. And you know what? That's the other horrible part, too. You know, there are people that did have good childhoods. And that's great. I mean, more of us need that. No kidding. You know, so a lot of times those guys can get confused into thinking that they're victims, too, because they were some surreptitious abuse or something. It's just, I don't know. It's very... It rubs me the wrong way in a bad, bad sense, and I really don't see at this point how overly focusing on it is going to help. And if there is a genuine problem, Molyneux would say go to therapy. I would say maybe, but maybe it would also be preferable just to kind of make peace with it as best as you can and move the fuck on to something else and be responsible from now on. And really, that's the only real remedy I can think of. I mean, that's what other people have done, and it seems to work well for them, as far as I can tell. And again, if something can be demonstrated that either I'm slightly wrong on this or mostly wrong or what have you, I'd love to hear it, but I just haven't come across anything. So, you know, that's where things are at right now. So, I don't know what else to say. Stop being a goddamn victim already. Take responsibility, be an adult, and try and live your life as best as you can without distributing blame to anybody else. Next episode, we will explore dissident philosophy, more of it anyway, by examining the concept of unearned respect. I'm Sleepy Salsa, and thanks for listening.